The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. I know for a lot of us, there is no days off. Although I had a day off on the radio, and I appreciate them for allowing me to have my Labor Day off, I still work like 6 other jobs. Let me just say this before I get into the information about, you know, the judge granting the special master for Donald Trump, the young lady who was found deceased after being thrown into a vehicle and abducted. I mean, so many in Canada, the mass stabbings. It's so much stuff to talk about. And I have so many opinions about the things that I've heard over the weekend. But I just want to say this. I have to set the record straight because I know a lot of people that listen to me live in California. You know, my only exposure to California has been Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, and the dirty, ugly places of L.A. And I had a little bit exposure to San Francisco, homeless people everywhere, trash everywhere. And so I tell you, I had a negative perception of California. Some of the Fresno area where my wife grew up at, that area is pretty nice. The Hanford, that area is pretty nice. But I had a disdain for California. I hate going to California. I don't like driving on the roads in California. The fact that it's leftist and the taxes are out of control, I just had a true despise for California, and I'm willing to admit that to you guys today. Then I went to an amazing church over the weekend. I don't know if I call it preach or spoke. I did 3 sermons, one on Saturday night, early morning service, and then the second service in the morning on Sunday, out there in what I would consider to be, where were we at, Orange County? Huntington Beach, Orange County. What's the other place that I was at? Newport Beach. I have to say, after driving in that area, I literally want to move to California now. I have never seen an area so beautiful and clean and neat. My whole perception of California was that it was dirty, bombs everywhere, and they just taking over every place. There's so much traffic everywhere. Then I went out there and I said, my God, I see why people live here. Now, can I afford to live there? It's 2 different things. Those houses that we were looking at and we were driving through by the beach and everything, $20 million, $14 million, $30 million. I'm like, God, oh, beautiful houses. Great, great time I had in California. So if you're from the Newport Beach area, just know that I apologize for talking crazy about California. I see why you want to hang around there and fight back. Now let me get into some more serious news. The special master situation that the judge granted for President Trump. Initially, she had postponed making her decision, but now she's officially made a decision to grant Donald Trump at least the ability to have a special master oversee the investigation or review some of the investigatory documents taken from his Mar-a-Lago home by the FBI. Also in conjunction with reviewing FBI information that was taken, she's also halted the Department of Justice transparency or whatever they call it, an investigation that they do alongside the FBI. I would argue because it's not impartial and there's been tremendous flaws and biases that have occurred, that there needs to be an impartial special master to review the documents. And the concerning portions of the documents pertain to attorney-client privilege and also privileged information that Donald Trump was supposed to have. Let me explain why this is incredibly important and why I think that a judge would have ruled this way and why it's so important for these things to occur, meaning the rulings like this to occur to save or to protect our constitutional rights and due process. Now, if the FBI were to take information that's attorney-client privilege, let's start with that point. You can confess to a crime to your attorney. You can confess to a crime to your attorney. Your attorney don't have an obligation to tell the courts that my client actually confessed to this crime. They have an obligation to protect you and to maintain your innocence in the court of law. So when you look at documentation and communication between a client and an attorney, if you somehow gain possession of documents where Donald Trump may or may not have explicitly committed crimes or admitted to crimes to his attorney, you have access to that. Now you have access to be prejudiced in an investigation with information you weren't privy to having in the first place. It's kind of similar to this example. If you're driving down the road and you had a pound of methamphetamine in your car, and a police officer look at you and say, "Hey, that guy looks like a criminal," and they pull you over and they find all your meth and they take you to jail. Well, the traffic stop was illegitimate. Therefore, they had no reason to search your vehicle. Therefore, finding drugs in a vehicle that was involved in an illegal search becomes fruits of a poisonous tree and is not admissible in the court of law. The same thing will occur if you somehow go and get a warrant and you take information that is privileged or attorney-client privileged information, and you decide to use that as evidence to further investigate other crimes. It's not going to be admissible in the court of law, because technically you should have never seen that information. Therefore, you wouldn't have had enough fuel to continue an investigation. Here's another reason why I think that's very important for us to identify, because if Donald Trump has said anything incriminating to himself pertaining to January 6th, this doesn't have to have anything to do with the National Archive. If they are searching through information from the National Archive that could be top secret or otherwise, and they stumble across information that's indicting him in another crime, they can use that against him. It's almost saying that you have gotten this information in plain sight, and they can use that against you. So the attorney-client privilege thing is huge to preserving a client or to preserving Donald Trump's right to be able to speak openly to his attorneys and not have investigators be able to use that information against him. These are the things, and this is similar to why police officers reach your Miranda rights, right? You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the presence to have an attorney with you. I forgot the thing now. I ain't been a cop long enough. Let me say that one more time, because I know I can get it right. I'm going to act like I'm in cop mode. All right. Just imagine one of y'all got arrested, put the handcuffs on you. And I used to say it like this. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to the presence of an attorney to assist you prior to questioning and to be with you during questioning if you so desire. If you cannot afford an attorney, you have the right to have an attorney appointed for you prior to questioning. Do you understand your rights? And they say, "Yeah, Mr. Tatum, I understand my rights." I say, "Now, understanding your rights and being advised of your rights, will you answer my questions?" Most of them understand that they don't want to go to jail for a very long time, and they believe if they cooperate, maybe they'll fare better. And so they say, "Okay, I'll start snitching right now." And I say, "Okay, thank you." But the reason why you have these rights to be protected in lieu of questioning and evidence is because you're not a lawyer. So you don't have to incriminate yourself with information that you're not privy to. So I hope that I explained that reasonably. And I think that this is indicative of the fact that a judge had to have seen bias in the FBI investigation into Trump. Now, we know the other FBI agent, I can't say his name right. I'm not going to even attempt to say his name. He was escorted out of the field office the FBI field office because of his explicit bias and his thwarting of pertinent information to investigate or investigation into Hunter Biden. So this guy is completely biased. He was a part of the raid into Mar-a-Lago. You have things like that going on. There needs to be checks and balances. I think at this point, the track record that the FBI has against them versus Donald Trump, their track record is not very good. And I don't think it's fair to say we could trust everything the FBI is doing, and we can also trust everything the DOJ is going to do in their little special follow-up investigation. Because what the FBI or the DOJ is supposed to do, I only got 1 minute. What the DOJ is supposed to do is the DOJ is supposed to follow up on the FBI, and they're supposed to make sure that the FBI isn't in possession of materials that they shouldn't have, like attorney-client privilege and executive privilege information. Now, we know that they're going to lie about it, and they're going to be in bed with the FBI, and it's not going to be impartial. So shout out to the judge in the Southern District of Florida, Ms. Cannon, for ruling fairly. Y'all hold the phone. I got a lot more to talk about. You listen to the Office Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break. You have heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th. And now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September the 24th and join J6 Solidarity in their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital and not just what the mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the Jan 6 patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tobacco, Joe Altman, the host of the Conservative Daily Podcast, and Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September the 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to our new website, the letter J, the number 6, solid.com. That's j6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to j6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. I'm afraid to tell it like it is.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on all social media platforms at theofficertatum.com. Let's get into some more information. I just finished breaking it down how Donald Trump, you know, got an incredible win with the judge granting him the special master to oversee the material that the FBI took from his personal home. Donald Trump in his rally just recently, I didn't watch the rally because I didn't see 1,000 of them. And I tell you what, I ain't never seen nobody talk as long as Trump. I mean, I could talk, but Trump be talking 3 hours at the rally. You wait for 40 hours and then he talked for 3 hours at the end of it. So I didn't watch it, but I'm sure he said a lot of really good things, things that he's been saying before, things that I agree with. But Donald Trump in his rally really, you know, fired up the base with his articulation of what they did when they stormed through his residence. I mean, he spoke about how they went through Melania's closet. He spoke about how they even went through Barron, his room. And, you know, it just gave you this visceral or it can give you a visceral feeling once you imagine what they would have possibly done. Whether it's good in good faith or not, that visual is not working out well for the FBI, especially when you're talking about a former president that they may or may not have clearly understood whether or not he could have this information or not. It's not like he had a server in his basement he was sending and receiving classified information. I don't think nobody in government has ever done that. Hillary Clinton. But anyway, but I think that he really struck a positive on that because it just gives him a little bit more breathing room. There's another story that I want to talk to you guys about because I beat up Black Lives Matter every chance I get. I just destroy Black Lives Matter every chance I get because they are such a fraudulent organization that took over the minds and the hearts of gullible Americans in 2020, had people burning down buildings, killing people, property damage in the billions. I mean, it just out of control behavior. because a crackhead was killed by a bad cop. And they burnt down cities all over the country. They extorted money from guilty white people and some black folks, raising hundreds of, I don't know how many millions of dollars they raised. We don't even know. It's $60 million floating around somewhere, but nobody knows where it's at. Here's an article right here. There was a gentleman that Patrice Cullors, after she stepped down, she put him in charge, and he somehow funneled $10 million to his consulting firm. $10 million to his consult. I just, Lord, help me. The amount of manipulation that came from Black Lives Matter is criminal. Black Lives Matter, and I say it on the airways, Black Lives Matter was a domestic terrorist organization. They use violence and coercion to push a political agenda. That is a terrorist organization. And then not only did they use violence, they extracted money and they manipulated the money for their own personal gain. This person, which I can't even say his name, I think it's Charlemagne Bowers. I could be saying it wrong. I don't know why people name their kids. This is why people don't be getting jobs and stuff like that, because when your employee can't say your name, they ain't going to give you a job. And I don't know how he's saying his name. But Mr. Bowers and Patrice Cullors, between the two of them and BLM buying properties, y'all talking like $30 million just spent on personal use. Lavish lifestyles. Patrice Cullors buying $3 million. Her portfolio of houses is probably like $5 million worth of houses in all white neighborhoods. Y'all can't, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. So this gentleman, Patrice Cullors, hired to do consulting to manage the donations that were coming in, and this fool done took $10 million and put it in his own personal piggy bank. Now, he getting sued by another scammy Black Lives Matter. In my opinion, they're scammy. There's no evidence that they have been scammy yet. But there's a Black Lives Matter grassroots that have been started, and they're suing Bowers because they claim that Bowers manipulated money that should have gone to them, that could have helped in the black community. But ladies and gentlemen, like, can I be honest with y'all? The problem is black folks. Not all, because there's a lot of genuine, smart, good, well-to-do, well-intentioned black folks that live in this country. You would be idiotic if you didn't think that there were great black people that live in this country. But there is a remnant of degenerate black folks that happen to get in positions of power. They happen to get leadership positions. They happen to be celebrities that people look up to, and they are fraudulent as you know what. Out here taking, I think it's Shalomaya. I think that's how you say his name. Shalomaya. I don't know who named that kid. I don't know if this is supposed to be a Muslim or whatever name he's trying to have. I don't know. But you take the people's money. You claim that you care about black lives, and black people are not benefiting from half of this money. And they use the death of thugs, for the most part. I mean, name one that they raised money on that wasn't a thug. I can go down the list. Name one that they raised money for that wasn't a thug. Now, I'm not saying that all of them deserve to die. Some of them, their actions led to their death. Some of them, maybe two of them, were unjustified shootings, killings. But they were still thugs. Walter Scott got shot in the back. Should have never been shot in the back. That police officer, I hope they should hang him for what he did to Walter Scott. You shoot the man in the back, and then you go plant the taser on him. They should hang you from a tree. You are the worst of the worst, using your badge and uniform to manipulate and murder somebody. Now, the man that's dead, Walter Scott, he $40,000 behind on child support. He fought the cop, beat the cop up before he ran from him. Hey, bruh, if you don't want to die, comply. I should have a shirt, if you don't want to die, comply. But I can go on and on about this. I'll continue with more from BLM after the break. I'm running out of time. You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to finish up the conversation about BLM and that little idiot that they believe took, allegedly took $10 million and put it in his own pocket. You know, it's just bizarre to me that it's unfortunate, because it seems like, and I'm just speaking impartially. Don't get mad at me. I have an opinion. It seems like when Black people get in control of stuff, I would argue that maybe the Black people that deserve to be in power ain't in power. It's like when Black people get in control of stuff, it just go downhill. Black Lives Matter was one of the biggest organizations that I have ever seen when it comes to influence. They had basketball courts with BLM on it. Every NBA team, every college team, every NCAA D1 team had Black Lives Matter on their shirts. They forced probably over half of the country to put black squares on their Instagram. They got companies out the wazoo supporting BLM. I got a list of them. They got all your favorite companies: PayPal, Slack. We use Slack in our company. Comcast, Uber, Snap, Shopify. We use Shopify on my e-commerce store. I mean, you go to Microsoft, Grubhub, DocuSign, DoorDash. I don't even want to talk about Bumble, because none of y'all better be on no Bumble. Go down the list. These major corporations, that's not even including celebrities, they had so much influence around the world. And somehow Black people found a way to mess it up. How in the world, with that much power and influence, why couldn't a group of Black people actually do something for Black people? Why couldn't they clean up the inner cities, build the schools better, get kids a better education, somehow have a contingency of dads, community leaders, curbing crime in the inner city? They could have done something. They didn't do nothing but pimp y'all. Straight hoodwinked. Patrice Cullors stepped down in 2021 after they caught her spending millions of dollars on mansions. Then this dude, when she stepped down, she put him in charge. They claim that he didn't extract the $10 million from Black Lives Matter. In 2021, his company was paid $2 million. This is not including Patrice Cullors' baby daddy got a gig with them, and he made almost $900,000. And then another guy that she knew was a friend, a family member or something, he done made almost a mil. They can't just get in a position to do something right. Just hoodwinking everybody. Here you go. Patrice Cullors, where you at? We don't know where she at. She done retired. It's an incredible shame that that organization didn't do anything positive. I don't believe they did anything positive. What did they do? On the dead bodies of black men, they made a grift. And they made money. And maybe some little chapters here and there scraping their money together to try to do things in the community. But the global organization, they ain't shelling out no real money. It's going to the pockets of the leaders at the top. I was talking to a guy who went to a HBCU. That's a historical black college university. And I remember I talked to a guy that went to a HBCU. And I said, you know what? If black people would stick together, our HBCUs would be the biggest universities in the world. Because all the athletes that you see at Clemson, Florida State, and if the black athletes, the top athletes, only went to HBCUs, there's enough of them. The HBCUs be the number one teams in the nation. But you know, the problem is the black leaders of the HBCUs, and not all, but they ain't doing what they supposed to do. Same issues, manipulate money. One guy was saying they couldn't get his transcripts on time. I mean, the leadership. Look at Baltimore when Freddie Gray died. Every element of society in Baltimore when, quote-unquote, Freddie Gray was killed was run by black people. I mean, look at today. All you got to do is go around. Look at all the police chiefs in the country that are black men and women. In Phoenix, we had one that was black. I mean, you go down the – we got black people in all kinds of positions of power. Why don't you see things changing for the black community? Point the finger in the mirror. Don't stop pointing at the white man. If y'all would do something when you get a chance and stop complaining all the time, maybe we'll see a difference. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets. The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Welcome back. All right, Black Lives Matter. I'm done with them. I think I beat the dead horse. It's very shameful that people of color, it seems that we can't get nothing, we can't get our stuff together. I'm just being honest. You know, I look at the movie Uncle Tom 2, and just looking at how I feel like there was a bigger majority of black folks that were doing well, that had the right mindset, believed in God, wasn't about wokeism. And then now you look at it, you say, it's incredibly, I don't want to say embarrassing. I will say embarrassing. It's embarrassing at the lack of informed celebrities and leaders in the community. And some people may disregard what I'm saying, but, you know, how do you vote at 90% for one party? I mean, just in general, is there no diversity of thought? And I'm telling you how, because people come after me. They think I'm crazy for being a Republican. They think I'm crazy for saying I'm conservative. It's absolutely mind blowing. the things that I say online, the things that I say, you know, on the radio, some black folks get mad at me and they say, oh, man, you just only white people follow you. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's embarrassing to you because you don't follow a person who's just telling the truth. That means you're an idiot. It's not the white man's fault because they willing to listen to somebody that's intelligent. And I'm not saying it's only white people that follow me, but I think y'all get the drift on what I'm saying. I want to transition to this other situation that happened that was very shocking. I don't know if I have a lot of expertise to add to it, but it was just a situation that kind of shocked me when I saw Fox News, which I thought was incredibly inappropriate. Fox News posted a video of, I'm assuming, OME pushing a body bag into the back of one of their vans. And then they says, this is moments after the CFO of Bed Bath & Beyond jumped to his death. And I guess that was him in the body bag that they're showing live on television moments after he'd killed himself. Which I thought it was incredibly disgusting for them to do that. You know, they were getting ripped in the comments. I mean, come on, man. You ain't got to be that salacious or that clickbaity that you want to show the man's in a body bag. You know, the body bag was all distorted because he jumped from 18 floors down. That wasn't pretty. He probably was, they had to put some pieces in there. Anyway, the CFO of Bed Bath & Beyond jumped to his death the other day after he was involved in a class action lawsuit, him and another gentleman, for what they call a pump and dump scheme. Now, I'm going to try to explain to you guys the best that I can what a pump and dump scheme is so you don't get caught up in it and also so you're aware kind of the context of what happens. So some people who are cunning enough, conniving enough, strategic enough, they will pump up a stock. They do this with meme coins and stuff like this all the time. They'll get a lot of momentum going. They'll talk about it. They'll inflate numbers to make the stock go up. And when it go to a peak point, and when it goes really high, they have a whole bunch of money in it. And so once it peaks on an inflated value, they sell and they make money at the top. And then it drops, and all the people who bought into it because they were believing the hype that it was going to go and reach the stars, they done lost their money. But the people who pumped it inside of trading, inside of knowledge, they know that those numbers are false, and they know that something is going to be released to drop the profit value. So they inflate it. It gets up to a certain number. They sell 40,000 shares, which is what this guy did. He sold 47,000 shares, which was worth like $1 million. So when it peaks, he sells his shares. He make a bunch of money, and then it goes back down to either a lower level than expected or go back down to the normal level of value that it was trading at. And so the CEO or CFO, for whatever reason, he didn't leave a note. He didn't really give any details. I mean, this was a class action lawsuit. There wasn't nothing criminal associated with it. But somehow, while his wife was in the room with him, according to the articles that I read, that his wife was there present in the room with him. And I don't know, maybe she threw him out the window. But without warning, he jumps 18 floors to his death. And it's you know, I only got about a minute to explain this, but I'm confused as to why a person would kill themselves over something like this. Now, I don't know if this man must be deep involved in something more than what he's saying, or maybe his wife pushed him out the window after she found out that he was finna lose all of their life savings and getting sued in a pump and dump scam that he was doing. Maybe she pushed him. I don't know what happened, but 18 stories is a little extreme for a criminal allegation against you. But this stuff happens all the time, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you're aware of this. This happens a lot where these people in finances are under incredible pressure. And they're under pressure enough to lie. And then they're under pressure enough that when things go south, they can't take it and they kill themselves. And Bed Bath & Beyond just announced that they're going to lay off like 20% of their employees. We got a Bed Bath & Beyond down the street from where we live, and they had to close that thing down. It's very sad and unfortunate, and I wonder, did he have a lot to do with their financial collapse, which had to cause them to lay off a tremendous amount of people and probably lose the business forever. They may never recover. ¶¶ Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Don't you find it ironic, and I know it's very sad as well, but it's ironic that there is a mass stabbing in Canada as their dictator alludes to the fact, or at least try to push the agenda, that there's no need for handguns in Canada. It just blows my mind. This person who went on a stabbing spree, and I thought I could remember the numbers, I think he killed like 13 people. Let me look at the numbers so I can get it right. They killed a whole bunch of people. I'm gonna find the numbers. I totally thought I could remember, but I can't. Him and his brother, it appears that it was his brother, and he was found dead in a field. Not sure, according to authorities, one of the suspects was found dead, and it didn't appear to be self-inflicted injuries. So I don't know if somebody fought him back and killed him, or his brother killed him. But these two brothers went on a stabbing spree and just started slaughtering people. And they killed more people in that particular scenario than some of these quote-unquote mass shootings that have occurred in the United States of America. I don't get the point of trying to demonize a particular weapon of choice and act as if you're going to be the savior by banning some weapon. Listen, if somebody don't care about going to prison, they don't care about stabbing or shooting you. They don't care. The problem is you're not going to be able to go through and ban everything, because they just killed a whole bunch of people in a stabbing. And this is just two people. I mean, just imagine if a group of people got together. I mean, I'm just going to give you a hypothetical, because, and I hope that this never happens, because I hope that we are vigilant as a country to make sure it doesn't happen. We are lucky that there's not always multiple assailants in some of these mass casualty situations. Just imagine if six people got together and said, we're gonna make history. We're going to kill as many people as we can. Six of y'all get together. We're going to go into an elementary school, and we're going to have strategically locked the doors with bars and gates and not gates, but chain links. We're going to do all of this stuff, and then we're going to stab as many kids as we can. I guarantee you that if there was multiple assailants stabbing children, there'll be more children and teachers die in that situation than the AR-15 situation in Uvalde. I can almost guarantee you. You know, more people die in the United States from being stabbed. More people die from being beat to death than die at the hands of an AR-15. And yet our country is hell-bent on convincing you that if they only ban an AR-15, that's going to end gun violence in the United States of America. And in Canada, if they only ban handguns, and they banned handguns after Uvalde happened. Now, I don't know if they want to claim there's a connection there, but they banned handguns after a man took a rifle into a school in Texas, in another country. They banned handguns right after that. They're looking for any reason to take away your civil liberties. And then they banned handguns, and the guy go and stab up people. Him and his brother go stab up multiple people. Multiple people are injured. Multiple people are hurt. I'm going to take a second to find those stats, because it's gonna eat away at me. I think it's on my other piece of paper. I was shocked at how many people actually got killed in that stabbing. So y'all just bear with me, because I'm going to find this, because I'm going to be irritated if I don't. Let me see if I can find it. I'll move on until I find it. I'm so irritated in myself that I can't find these stats, because I had them right in front of me. But it's very sad that this is the state of affairs, that they want to take your rights away. The young lady that was jogging, she's jogging out in Memphis on campus at the wee hours of the morning, and a man who should have been in prison for probably the rest of his life that was let out. I believe he went to prison for crimes that were very similar to what he had committed the day that he murdered this lady. You know, now in America, you can have firearms. while she didn't have a firearm, I understand. Looked like she was exercising. But to when you take personal defense away from the people, you open up the floodgates of criminals to do what they do. I think that's the gist of what I'm saying. You know, they claim that guns are the problem in Canada. Now people stabbing each other to death. And this is not the first time. They had over 200 stabbings just last year. And I want y'all to put this in perspective. Even though Canada is a country, Canada is the size, probably slightly smaller than the state of California. So it was 10 dead, 18 was wounded in that situation. 10 people died, 18 people wounded. And we don't know how many of the 18 are in critical condition, but 10 people were killed by a stabbing. That's more than many shootings that we've had here on American soil. Just recently, the guy at the mall, he shot like 4 people. And then somebody plugged him because what? They had a gun. They had a means to defend themselves. The reason why 10 people die and 18 other people are wounded from somebody stabbing you, because nobody had a gun. That man would have killed no one if people in Canada were open about carrying guns and had a gun. That is just it's the bottom line and the reality of what's going on. I really hope it's like I'm talking to an echo chamber. I know you guys understand what I'm saying. My hope is that the world get this. Do we not see what these people are doing to us? Do we not understand the ploy here? This is not about safety. Because if it is about safety, with over 200 stabbing murders, I think in 2021 in Canada, I mean, year over year, they're having hundreds of people dying from being stabbed to death. And they still have gun violence, mind you. You would think that the next step is to ban knives, right? In America, the overwhelming majority of people who die due to a firearm, they die from handguns. It's not even close. Handguns and rifles aren't even close at all. You would think if it was really about protecting people, they would ban handguns. Because handguns are responsible for majority of the school shootings. They're responsible for majority of the deaths that occur by way of a firearm. They're much more easily concealed. They're much more readily available, and they're cheaper. Handguns would be banned if our government actually wanted to do something to curb violence in the United States of America. It has nothing to do with that. They cannot ban handguns. They have to go for the big scary ones because there's people in this country that are so wimpish and half brain dead that they look at a gun because it's big and scary and they just agree with whatever the government says. They're going to start with the rifle, then they go into the handgun. They want us to be a disarmed populace. I have never in the history of this world, I have never in my life seen a country be overturned by or overrun by a dictatorship where the people were armed. None. Look at any regime. How did they gain power? They disarmed the populace first. And the only people that have guns are the government. And when the government want to rat-a-tat-tat, you have no defense. And you don't have to use F-15s to fight the government. It's like if the people rebelled against the government, I guess the people are going to get in the planes. Like the government has its own military or something. The people work in the military. The people are volunteering in the military to defend our country. So you're going to have countrymen in F-15s shooting civilians if they're going to stop us from overturning the government. That's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The people can overthrow the government in the United States of America if they wanted to. Just so happen we have people who are reasonable, and it hasn't gotten to the point where we have to overthrow our government. They know it. We know it. They don't want you to be armed so they can have the advantage. in case they want to take a little small contingency of people to fight against you in your best interest. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a lot to talk about. Hold the phone back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Hey, I forgot to give a special shout out to my new live affiliate. Ladies and gentlemen, in Frederickstown, Missouri, News Talk 94.3 KYLS. They just brought your boy on board. We're going to take over America, ladies and gentlemen. The Officer Tatum Show is going to take over America. So shout out to Frederickstown, Missouri. If you got some friends that live out there in that area, tell them to tune in to News Talk 94.3 KYLS. And we're going to keep it rolling. I want to continue to talk about this idea of gun ownership. The invaluable nature of being able to own your own gun and defend yourself. You know, unless the government is going to provide a police officer that's sitting on my street 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I have to hold down the fort. We got a guy, we were looking on the Ring camera community thing. There's some guy brazen enough to go in the lady's house down the street from where we live. Well, it's not down the street, it's across the golf course of where we live. Was in her house. I guess she woke up. You know, she went to get some water. She caught him in there and he ran. The police ain't sitting at your front door. So when some thug want to go night-night and he need Brandon Tatum to help him go night-night, then I'm very glad to do that for you. Tell me, do you want to take the 5.56 NyQuil, or do you want to take the 7.62 NyQuil, the 9 NyQuil, or the shotgun NyQuil? Whichever NyQuil you want is full strength. You can have it, as many of them as you want. You come into my house, you will die. And somebody was you know, somebody called in when it was a pacifist. He's believed that Christians should turn the other cheek. Literally, he believed that a person's going to be coming here and rape my family, and I'm supposed to just let it happen because I'm a pacifist. Well, I'm going to have to repent, because if you come in my house, you're going to die. That's unless I roll up on you and you laying face down with your hands out and praying in tongues. That's the only way I may spare you. But I have that right because I'm responsible for my own life. Let me just explain this too, because I think people get far away from the well-worn path. The government do not run the people. The people are supposed to run the government. The government is in the background, just doing the minutiae, making sure that your rights, my rights, are not infringed upon by other people. That's what they're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be living our lives trading freely amongst one another, but the government has gotten so big that people are now confused who run this place. They get up and tell you anything. Oh, everybody got to have a mask today. I mean, that's not what the government can't make you do anything. The government should be able to instruct you and give you guidance, give you best practices. But the government can't make you do nothing. But somehow we have acquiesced to dictatorship, and we allow them to make us do things that are against our constitutional rights. And it's gotten out of control. That's why this gun thing is so important to me, because I see where they're going with it, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a mystery. Unless you sleep behind the wheel, this is not a mystery. They want to take away your rights, because in the future, when they want to do things to the populace, they need you to be disarmed. That makes it easier for them to do a search warrant into your house if you don't have any guns. That makes it easier for them to just pick you up and arrest you for no reason and then give you an explanation when they feel like it. It makes it easier. when they want to put their cronies in place and threaten you and burn your buildings down and steal from your stores and loot and create chaos so they can win another election, it makes it easier for them to do that to you and put you in a state of fear because you have nothing to protect yourself with. Somebody was on the app over here, and my wife be getting us banned from all our neighborhood apps. And I love it. That's why I married her. Some fool was on there talking about less lethal and stuff. Okay, I get it. But don't you tell a woman who's in the home alone that she need to have less lethal, if there's some less lethal. You don't need to worry about lethality. When I say lethality, meaning you don't have to worry about somebody's feelings, that you don't want to hurt a person. Look, man, if they try to rob and kill you, you want the best tools available to you to defend yourself. That women out here with bear spray. And it's the, listen, man, in the heat of the moment, that little bear spray, I want people to understand this. It's like kicking a man in between his legs. I want you to understand, there's a period of time where they don't feel it yet. And that period of time, a man can kill you. Just because you kick him between his legs don't mean it's not the movies, man. Sometimes it's a delayed effect. Just like pepper spray and bear spray. You catch a person, they close their eyes. There's like 30 seconds. Some people are immune to it, but there's like a 30-second gap between when it starts really kicking in. And if somebody's out to kill you, they're going to kill you in 30 seconds of you spraying them with bear spray. You need to get you something that's a little more lethal, right? You want a knife so you can jug them a couple times if they try to throw you in a van somewhere when you're trying to just do a morning jog, where you don't end up succumbing to a murder because somebody has it in their mind that they're hell-bent on killing you. We do not want to be a populace that are disarmed, not only for us to stand up against the government tyranny, but for us to also be able to protect our families. Now, if you're out there and you don't want a gun, so be it. If you're okay with somebody breaking into your house with a gun and tying you up and abusing your family, then, hey, call the police if you can. With me, and I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect. I don't know. But I want to have the opportunity to defend myself to the greatest extent. I'm a public figure. A lot of people see me out. I get recognized everywhere I go. There's also some haters out there that will love nothing more than to confront me. If 15 of them decide to confront me on the same day, I want to be able to have lead sandwiches for everybody. I do not want to discriminate, and I do not want to leave them out. No man left behind. They all can get lead sandwiches. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to address a few things, and I'm going to get some callers who have called in. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was a caller that had called in, but I think the caller hung up, said, you don't need an AR-15 to defend yourself. That's for mass shooting, I think is what the caller said. I just don't understand the logic of some people. And God bless you. But let's just throw a scenario out here. What if there's more than one person? Then what? Are we living in a movie world? So somebody robbing you is going to be one person, and we are going to believe that that person is going to have a handgun or less, right? That's the rules of the game. They're going to come rob you with a handgun or less, and so therefore you should have a handgun too. And it's only going to be one person that rob you because two people can't possibly rob you. Nobody would do a home invasion on you where multiple assailants come in your house and bound you, rape you, and take all your money. That can never happen. And if somebody come to rob you, they can't have an AR-15, right? Wrong. What if they got an AR-15? What if it's multiple assailants? Like, there's a reason in a place to have an AR-15. What is the effectiveness? Why do you think they use M4s in military? Why? Because it's effective. It's effective. They can put more rounds down range. It's effective. Penetrate most armor. It's effective. Somebody comes into your house and they're wearing armor. Unless they have ballistic armor for a rifle, you're going to blow through their armor just like paper. That's the reason why you should be able to have whatever gun you believe is best to protect your family. We got to stop living in a fantasy world. I guarantee you the person that said that called in, probably has never shot an AR-15 a day in that person's life, ever. And when you don't have exposure to certain guns, I believe, I could be wrong, I just believe people have a distorted image and idea of what guns are used for. Because if you, at the end of the day, you have to say, well, why do police officers have rifles? They should only have handguns. Well, because what happens when the criminal has a rifle? Or more than one criminal? You know, you need a gun that's more sustainable. My rifles aren't going to kill anybody unless they deserve it. That's the only way my rifle is going to come out of there and start bussing. Unless I'm practicing or somebody deserves to die. They don't just somehow jump out of my closet and start accidentally shooting people for no reason. So there's no point in saying you shouldn't own one, you shouldn't possess one, you shouldn't have one. You know, you ask a person like that, which one is more lethal? A shotgun or a rifle? Which one is more lethal? You know, well, you know, if you look at it for what it is, it really depends on the situation that you're in. You get hit somebody with a slug. You hit somebody with a slug point blank in the face with a shotgun, that's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. All right, I'm going to get some callers in. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Let me bring in my favorite. I'm going to call her Grandma. Joyce from Houston, Texas. Welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show.
Thank you. You know, remember, I'm the lady. When you was going to come on that Monday, I said, well, I know I'm going to turn away from dial. Well, I want you to know I have not missed not. And you come on here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I have not missed tuning into you not one time. Now, this is the sister that wasn't going to listen.
Well, I like to call you Grandma now. I think you remind me of my grandmother, so I love you, Joyce. Thank you for
what you listening say? To you. It's just like it's a repeat of myself. If I had recorded a lot of stuff, it's just like I'm listening at myself. Cause you are so right to be a young man, and that's what really. Sometimes it boggles my mind. Like, here's a young man that's telling the truth verbatim, and here I go to senior citizen meetings, and they are looking at the Hate Trump Commission. I mean, this does not make any sense to me, but I didn't call in for that. I called in. I heard you mention Black Lives Matter. When this organization marched down the street with that big banner saying, fry them like bacon, when do you want them dead now? I said that day, and I stand by today if I have to stand by myself, that organization should have been legally, lawfully disbanded that day. And, you know, I am a compassionate person. But, you know, and I'm just a little girl from the cotton field. I don't feel all that sorry for these people. And I was saying, how did these people allow this organization to dupe them like that?
Joyce, hold on 1 second. I got to bring Joyce back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. I want to give a special shout out to my new live affiliate out of Missouri. So, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome the Fredericktown, Missouri affiliate, News Talk 94.3 KYLS. Big shout out. Thank y'all for carrying my show. We're going to take over America, ladies and gentlemen. We just got to keep getting more affiliates, and we are going to take over America, and the truth will be told over the airwaves, instead of some of these crazy lies that come from the left. And I believe people would be changed when more people like myself have a voice that expands throughout the entire United States of America. On the radio, we were talking about tithing. And I want to make this very clear. I'm going to read a scripture because this was the scripture that the caller was calling in. And I'm going to tell you why I said what I said. So I'm going to preface my statement. Not preface my statement. I'm going to explain my position and then I'm going to give you the scripture here. When I read the Bible, I don't see anywhere where people tithe money, currency. Although I see many places where currency is available, but they just never tithe currency. The question in my mind is that why they never tithe currency? It didn't appear that God had mentioned specifically that people should tithe money. And then Jesus speaks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And I can see how these churches fall off today because they tithe money. These pastors get so much money, they begin to love money and they begin to destroy their church. Let me give you an example of what the caller had called in and said about the Pharisees tithing. So in Matthew 23:23, I think that's where it's at. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mints, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So when Jesus had even mentioned to them about tithing, he said that they tithe a tenth of their spices, mint, dill, and cumin. They didn't tithe money. Now, the question is, how do you know, they did, this is what they had? No, because when Judas betrayed Jesus, they gave him money. They didn't give him mint, dill, spices. They gave him money. So they had currency. They had money. They had an economy. Jesus was a carpenter. I think Peter did taxes or one of them. So, you had an economy and you had the availability of tithing money, but they never tithed money. Now you go back to the Old Testament. And of course, I'm not a theologian. I didn't go to seminary school. It's just things that I've read as a lay member and a believer. You go back in the Old Testament, it talked about bringing 10% of cattle, look like things that you grow from the land, to the storehouse. And if I'm not mistaken, if somebody's a theologian, they can correct me on this, is that the storehouse was specifically set up, to feed Levites. And God had called them to feed. So they gave 10%. They brought it to the storehouse so that the Levites could come and eat and have things to eat. And then God had promised them that the windows of heaven will pour them out a blessing they don't have room enough to receive. And that means that the rain was going to come and they were going to become more fruitful. They have more cattle. They're going to have, the vegetation was going to grow and they will reap the benefits of a surplus if they gave those type of things to other people. And that reminds me of the Pharisees giving spices, mint, dill, all of those things. Where were they tithing that to? They must have been tithing that to a place where people could come and take that to eat or consume. Now, when you talk about giving money, it's a difference. The Bible talks about being a cheerful giver, not of grudgingly or of necessity, but in your heart you should give. Now, that dollar amount could be whatever God has purposed for you to give, whatever you want to give in your heart. I remember the lady had given a little bit, and I guess the gentleman that was with Jesus had given a lot, and as far as number is concerned, he went back to her and made a reference to say, she gave more than the rest of y'all because she had a little bit and she gave a lot of what she had. She really made an incredible sacrifice. So it's almost as if her giving counts more so than you giving and y'all have a lot to give. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's giving in the Bible. Also, I believe, and it's just my perception, I believe if you wanted to say and make a promise to God that, hey, I'm going to give 10% of my money. I'm going to give 5% of my money. I'm going to give 30% of all of my income. I'm going to give 10% of my business. I'm going to give, whatever agreement that you want to make with God, I believe that God will bless you in that if you stay consistent and you make that agreement. But to tell people that you're going to hell, I remember I used to go to church where they say you're going to hell because you weren't tithing your money. God told you to give 10% of your money. But then they can't show a single scripture where it is explained, what is 10% of your money? Is it before taxes or after child support? You tell me which one is it? There's no explanation of the way it is because money was not involved in the tithing process. Let me get somebody else in here. Let's see, K.R. Bailey from West Virginia. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, God bless you, and don't you ever quit talking. Just keep talking as long as God gives you breath. And I appreciate you more than I can ever tell you, and I just want to tell you that Jesus gave that blood upon old Calvary's tree for everyone, including your family, you and me. And you were talking about that preacher that was wanting to buy a watch. He'd have did that in First Baptist Church in Dunbar, where I go, we'd have thrown him out by the seat of his pants. He would have went out the door faster than he come in. But anyway, these people talking about guns, AR-15s, they just never, most people's never shot a gun. I mean, a lot of people have never shot a gun, a rifle, right, or handgun, shotgun. But here in West Virginia, there's 1,840,000 people in this state, and you put about 300,000 in the woods in deer season. And I would say, I would almost bet a week's pay that this state, for the amount of people, has probably got more guns than any other state in the United States. I know people that's got more guns than you can think of, Officer Tatum. I'm not going to say their name, but I'm an old former Green Beret, retired iron worker, and I've shot a lot of guns, and I've enjoyed it. And if you take somebody to the rifle range with you and look, get them to shooting, and they can hit that target, you probably got somebody that'll want to come back again. But now, amen, some people are just automatically scared to death of guns. They want no part of it. And I've seen it happen a few times. Not too often, but a few times. But I just wanted to say my part, because if you don't have a gun now, you're in trouble. And when the IRS agents come, the 87,000 they hire, I'm going to have my 9mm or my AR-15 sitting there when they come through the door with their guns on their hips. And I'm going to treat them nice and everything else, but I'm going to have my gun because they make me uncomfortable carrying a gun because I don't know who they are. So, right. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
No, I'll say, KR, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate the commentary, and thank you for your service as well. I love people from the South, man. God, oh, just that Southern draw, man. It's like everybody else then wigged out. It's like people from the South, people that live out in the boonies, they still get it. They still get America. They still get freedom. It's these big city people that just, they didn't lost their way. And I'm not saying everybody, because there's somebody watching this, the big city patriot, okay? But some people have lost their way truly and indeed. And I love to see country folk just tell it like it is. That pastor out there bashing his congregation because they didn't want to buy him a Movado watch. I could not believe my eyes. And I'm telling you, I went and I gave a speech at a church, three services, and just the weight of preaching in front of people and having their soul or their salvation kind of in the balance of things that you say, meaning that you could say something that could turn a person off, they'll never want to come to church ever again, or you can allow God to put the words in your mouth that can take somebody to a level that they can become closer with God. That responsibility is a heavy responsibility. I don't know how pastors do it, but the fraudulent ones take advantage of your emotions instead of building you up in Christ. Hold the phone, y'all. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
I don't know if you guys agree with me on this one. I'm going to bring in a couple more people on the gospel stuff. So y'all just hold the phone. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think some people in this world are absolutely stupid. I don't know how so many stupid people. Nick just sent me, and Nick is my producer. He does all my, he's my video producer for my YouTube channel. He does all my video content. And this lady, what school is she from? Nick, the coach, Nick, what school is she from? Oh, Nick, then one downstairs. There's a lady, I forget what school she's coaching at. Y'all know the Duke thing, where the girl is playing volleyball, and she claimed that somebody used racial epithet or racial slurs against her. No evidence. Literally, the video I made on YouTube almost got 1 million views right now. No evidence that anybody called her anything. They have video recording, and they didn't see anybody say anything to her on the video. There's an audience of thousands of people. Nobody heard any racial slurs. Nobody on her team, none of her coaches, nobody in the crowd, not the police, not the other team, not the administrators who watched the review of the video. It didn't happen. And she lied. And a dumb, woke, shiny forehead coach is now counseling a football game. I'm going to make a video about this. Not a football game. She's counseling one of their games with BYU because of this mysterious happening. You know what this remind me of? South Carolina, that's where it is. South Carolina, University of South Carolina. Is it a basketball or volleyball? Maybe it's a is it basketball or volleyball? It's basketball. And we know, listen, I played college football. We in McHale Center. All the athletes were down in McHale Center at the University of Arizona. It was a beautiful environment. We all were good friends. We would see each other in the locker rooms. I mean, not in the locker rooms. We didn't go in the girls' locker rooms. Let me make that clear. And we definitely didn't go in the women's basketball locker room. But in the fitness facility, we worked out together. We went to games together. We would pass each other. We would go to the little they had a little corner store that was downstairs that we all used to shop at. We used to go there together. I mean, we were all really great athletes because we were in the same facility. They were saying the N-word. We were saying the N-word. Everybody was saying the N-word. N, you get an N, you get an N, you get an N. All y'all can say the N-word. Everybody's saying N. Hype music. We in the locker room coming out, running out to music. N. And you telling me somebody in the crowd call you the N-word and your feelings are broken. And this lady forfeited the game for what? Because somebody might call you the N-word? My God, you can't get any stupider than these people. I can't stand these. Y'all got to hear it in my voice. I can't stand these people. You going to cancel a game with BYU with no evidence. What are they going to do about the schedule? Y'all didn't get a chance to get reps in. You didn't get a chance to play. You didn't get a chance to practice your opponent. You got no film. What are you going to do with your record? Because somebody may have said the N-word to a girl playing volleyball at BYU. Ah, God is my witness. I just people are zombies. They have no soul. They're just a walking shell of a person. Just nothing on the inside of their mind. Canceling the game. I mean, the show of force is to say, we're going to go down to BYU and we're going to stomp them out. We're going to beat them so bad, they'll never want to play us again. That's the recourse to somebody calling the N-word. You don't forfeit a game, you coward. Oh, I'm going to make a video about her on my YouTube channel, and I might cuss. I might cuss and blur it out. Anyway, let me get some people in and talk about church so I can calm down. Let me go with Vincent from Oak Forest, Illinois. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Officer Tatum or Pastor Tatum?
Oh, man.
You sound like Pastor Tatum. I tried to get on the show yesterday. I was too late. But anyway, yeah, enjoy your show. I like the music, everything. It's a pretty good thing you got going. So I'm new to the show. But anyway, the objections I hear about the gospel, tithing, and all that are founded on the Levitical priesthood. Because they say, well, the Levitical priesthood was done away, so therefore tithing is done away. the Seventh-day Sabbath is done away. No, that's still part of the New Covenant gospel that Jesus Christ brought as a divine messenger sent from his divine Father, the Most High. So, having said that, in Mark chapter 2, verse 28, he states that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath has been subverted to the first day of the week by nominal Christianity, the mainstream Christian belief system. And it's a violation of the fourth commandment, which is on par to capital offenses like adultery, murder. Now, tithing is not a capital offense, but it is still part of the law that was given to Moses. In Malachi chapter 4, it says, remember the law of Moses and the statutes and judgments. I will send Elijah to prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. At end time prophecy, showing that the law was still being in effect. But it changed in Hebrews 7, because Paul said, I have the authority to take tithes. Apostle Paul, those who live according to the gospel, who preach the gospel, could live according to the gospel. And he said he had the lawful authority to do it, but he chose not to do it because people were stealing money and abusing the tithing system back then. So I think it's relevant to get that into the equation because, you know, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, it says that the final witness is going to be the temple of God was open in heaven. The Ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And then that's before the great hail plague that's going to be sent right at the very end there for two witnesses preach the gospel for 3.5 years. So now the Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments in there. So that's going to be shown as a witness. It's going to be made visible to the whole world supernaturally somehow. So I think in order to... because you were talking in a pastoral context or capacity yesterday, saying that, well, preaching the gospel, but, the fourth commandment can't be ignored.
All right, Vincent.
And even the tithing law can't be ignored. Yeah.
Right. I got to get to the break. I got 10 seconds left. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Break yourself, Poo.
I'm back. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't stand these folks. That's what I'm coming in with. I actually listened to the video because Nick shared the video and told me that the South Carolina coach, women's basketball coach, decided to cancel a game with BYU. And I said, I got to make a video about it because there's no way in the world a grown woman can be that weak and talking about she saving a kid. Lady, you ain't even talk to him about it. You just quit the game. I can't stand these people. Lord, I know you hear me. Help me. I can't stand these people. I'm going to sin in my mind. I'm so frustrated at the stupidity. This is why black folks can't have nothing. Because you can't play a basketball game because somebody said a slur against another black person that's in another sport? What are y'all even talking about? You can't play a basketball game because of a word? And y'all sitting in the locker room saying in all week long. I play sports. I know what we do in the locker room. I know the music we listen to in the locker room. Women's basketball, men's basketball, we're no different than the football team. In Drake, little nasty Nukies, or whatever these women call themselves today. All of them just nasty, talk about all kind of stuff. And let me tell you about women's basketball. She should be worried about them girls turning these other girls out. Oh, you talking about the N-word? They out here turning girls out on the basketball team. If you don't know what turning out mean, they go in straight, they leave gay. Everybody know this is happening in women's basketball on college level, high school level. They have these girls come in there, and then the young freshmen come in, and they get into it with their boyfriend and they manipulate them. And then before you know it, they now gay with the other girls on the team. Now tell me I'm lying. Somebody who played women's basketball, tell me I'm lying. All right, let me bring in a caller. I have somebody that disagree with me. Lord, give me the strength to handle this disagreement. Tim from Washington, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hey, Austin Tatum, listen, you and I have talked before, and I hope, you know, the Lord don't need to give you strength. I'm not here to give you strength. I'm just here to make a point. I listened to what you said about the girl. Just a couple things I want to take, because I don't want to take up your time. I played in a game in, actually, I said 71. It was 1973, a high school football game, where our tailback was killed on the field at Walter Weber. It was an all-races school. That's back in Alabama. There were three black kids on the team. Cannon died. Stringer quit. My dad wouldn't let me quit because he was a full Sergeant Major. Come to the present, 2006, Sports Illustrated called me and wanted to do a story about the game. They want to talk about the murder of a black kid. You know what I said? It was a football game. Those weren't black people saying murder. Those were people who were white. Second thing, you just had a softball team come from Florida, was stopped in Georgia. Going back to Virginia. Why? Because the kids were black. They thought they had drugs on them. The word.
Why you had to say the hard R on the radio, Tim? Come on, man. I could feel the energy. He was about to say something crazy.
And you ain't black.
Let me tell you this. Let me just say this. He said he disagreed with me. He didn't get to say much because he said the N-word. I don't know what radio he be listening to. You can't say the N-word on the radio. Why you think I'm saying N-word? Because you can't say the N-word and then put a E-R on it. What are you smoking? All right. Let me just clarify this because I think his argument is that people are racist towards black people. So what, man? People may not like you as long as they put their hands on you. This girl lied, though. Time out, shawty. This girl lied, though. She lied. That's like saying Jussie Smollett. That's like using Jussie Smollett as an example not to go downtown Chicago. Well, no, we can't go. Subway need to intervene and do a protest because Jussie Smollett got beat up by some white dudes with MAGA hats. That didn't happen. So if you making an argument that somebody need to do something about Jussie Smollett, he lied. The girl in Duke, she claimed that somebody did. Nobody heard it. She's saying that she's serving the ball. I've been to volleyball games. She says she's serving the ball. And they're yelling racial slurs against her. Nobody on her team. Nobody in the audience. They had audio video footage of the game. No, not one slur in any of the videos. Police couldn't find it. Administrators couldn't find it. No, not another teammate could find it. There was nothing there. So this woman quitting the game against BYU for a Jussie Smollett situation. It's the preponderance and the culmination of stupidity that is the reason why black people can't get ahead in life. You're so weak-minded that you can't play a basketball game because of fake scenario. Go to sleep. Now I got to change gears. Tim almost made me cuss at him when he said I don't need the Lord. I do need the Lord for people that say the most ridiculous stuff ever.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last segment of the day. Lord, help me, man. I just get so frustrated because I just wish that black folks would be stronger in a time such as this. You know, the appropriate response to Duke is that, nah, we're going to go down there and we're going to put a whooping on y'all. That's what's going to happen. Because when I was in school playing football, my coach was white from Nebraska with a dip in his mouth. And when we got out of line, he used to hit us with a paddle. Yeah, that's what we had. We had a country coach like that. I'd say he was country. He was a corn-fed dude. Coach Jones, Bob Jones. I'll never forget Bob Jones. Dip, got a spitting dip all day. A whole bunch of black kids. We had 9 D1 players on our team. 4 of us were All-Americans. Now, if a coach were to call one of us the N-word, we're going to run up the score. That's what's going to happen. It ain't going to be no, oh, we forfeit the game because we don't know what to tell our players. No, we're going to run it up. We did that to a coach. Well, he didn't want to give us the film. He didn't want to trade film. We scored 82 points on them, 82 to nothing. We would have scored more, but we ran out of time. What are you teaching the girls by saying, if somebody say something you don't like, you cry like a wussy, and you go lay down somewhere and quit the game, lose your record, you don't get no time on the court, you suck the rest of the season, and somebody going to feel sorry for you because somebody may say the N-word to you. And in America, you say the N-word at a game, they kicking you out. They kicked out the kid and didn't have no evidence that he said the N-word. That's not enough for you? That if somebody does offend you, that they get kicked out of the game, that's not enough. You can't even expose your players to somebody potentially saying something wrong to them. I mean, God dang, y'all. All right, let me bring in one last person. It's a quick disagreement. Caller, and then I'll see the rest of y'all tomorrow. James from Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the Offsetter Show. You got to make it quick because I got like a minute and a half left. James, what is your specific disagreement?
Well, my specific disagreement is wherever the lady's name in Houston, I'm around her age, and I'm old enough to probably be your grandfather. I'm black, African-American, Democrat, conservative, love the country.
That's impossible.
Yes, it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm older than you. I can tell you. You don't tell me.
But what about the Democrats or conservatives?
You haven't lived through what I've lived through. And
I agree with you, James, but I'm not trying to tell you something. I think it's impossible. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just giving my opinion. My opinion is that it's impossible.
Well, young man, that's almost like trying to tell a Vietnam veteran who saw combat how to fight a war in combat. You never win.
What about the Democrat party that's conservative?
Hey, being African American.
Okay.
James,
I love you, James. I'll see y'all tomorrow, man. I'm out. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.